the end of last series, just before Easter, we were looking particularly at the events surrounding Peter, the events around Easter, the Passover weekend in Jerusalem, and all that happened then. And what I want to do this morning, really, is to kind of look back and ask the question, how did Peter get there? How did Peter get to the place that we saw him at Easter over that Passover weekend? And the title, the official title for this morning is Peter, Fisherman to Fisher of Men. And the verse that I've got up there is from the final reading you'll have done on Friday from Acts 2. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. There we go, it's scriptural. So don't blame me. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And that's a verse that talks about the fulfillment, the second part of that sentence, Peter becoming a fisher of men and women, obviously. But how did he get there? What was the backstory to that? And in covering this backstory, I rather thought it would be good, you know, it's just the way my mind works. Perhaps we sit at home far too long watching box sets, I don't know. But somehow it seemed to me that I want to do this like the pitch for a new season on Netflix. After all, we're going to have something to replace Line of Duty after tonight. Don't know if you're still as shaky as I am. So this is my idea. Cue music, please. We didn't get a chance to sound check the music, so I'm rather hoping it's going to work. A bit louder, please. It is Peter the Rock. In the opening scene, we see Peter sitting by Lake Galilee. He's kind of looking thoughtful. And that picture dissolves. And we see him sitting by a fire in a courtyard. And there's people talking around him, and it develops into an argument. And at the end of this scene, Peter's arguing and swearing he never knew the man, as a cockerel crows. And the picture dissolves again to the scene of crucifixion. Someone hanging, dying on a cross. Peter isn't there. But then again, the picture changes, and there's Peter standing amazed in a tomb holding burial cloths. Empty burial cloths. Then the scene changes again to a scene on a beach where what looks amazingly like the man we saw dying on the cross is alive. And he's cooking a meal on the beach for Peter and his other friends. And then we go back to Peter by himself, by the lake, muttering to himself, or maybe he's praying, how did I get here? And the scene changes again to a slightly younger looking Peter, fishing. And as happens, we get 3 years previously. And someone calls out, Simon! Is that his name? Why? And Peter the Rock, season one, is the story of what happens during those 3 years. So I'll carry on pitching it to you. Episode one, Peter steps back. Fear. Simon Peter realized what had happened. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. So where are we? Well, we're in Luke chapter 5, and we're at the start of Jesus' ministry. Obviously, there was someone there holding up a card saying, you're in Luke chapter 5. This is where our reading started at the beginning of the week. But actually, some stuff has happened before that. If we look in Luke's gospel, and also if we piece it together with the other gospels, there's some stuff already going on. Jesus is already developing a bit of a reputation as a preacher and as a healer and a miracle worker. And it seems that Simon has probably already followed him round the area a bit. And in fact, if we look back in Luke 4, Jesus has healed Simon's mother-in-law. But it also seems Simon actually hasn't committed to anything yet. Then one day, Jesus asks to borrow Simon's boat. He wants to do that because there's a big crowd wanting to hear him, and he's getting pushed further and further closer to the water. So he asks to borrow the boat so he can go out a little way into the lake and talk to the crowd from there. Now, Simon isn't using the boat. He's been out all night fishing, and he hasn't caught anything. So I guess he says, well, no one else is using the boat right now. Yeah, okay, that'll be fine. When Jesus has finished speaking to the crowd, he goes back to Simon and says, Simon, why don't you try fishing again? And I wonder what Simon's first response was welling up in his mouth. The experienced fisherman who's been out all night and caught nothing. And here's this guy, okay, he's a good preacher, but he's no fisherman. He's a builder or a carpenter, I think. But he has seen enough of Jesus that, well, maybe it's worth trying. We haven't got anything else to lose, and there's not going to be a lot of food on the table if we haven't got any fish to sell. So they go out, and the nets are filled, and Simon is more than impressed, and we're told in awe, actually. He's actually probably in fear. This is just a little bit weird now, this religious guy. Let's see what he says. Simon Peter realized what had happened. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. And of course, Jesus looked down on him and said, quite right. Truly and verily, I say to you, Simon, you have spoken truly because you are indeed a miserable sinner. Stay where you are, on your knees. No, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus reassures him. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Jesus comes to meet Simon in the ordinariness of Simon's everyday life. Fishing on a lake isn't everyday life for us, but it was for him. And that's where Jesus met him, and he transforms it. And then he promises to transform Simon, but he says, don't be afraid. Will Simon commit? Or will he keep his distance? This is quite weird, and he isn't a religious man, but he realizes this isn't about religion. He overcomes his fear of Jesus' power, or perhaps his fear of change, and along with his brother and his friends, he actually fully goes and follows Jesus. Perhaps some of us can identify with what Peter went through in episode 1. Perhaps, maybe, some of us here feel a little bit like we're still living in our own version of episode 1. We've heard what Jesus says. It is challenging, but it's quite attractive. We've perhaps seen or experienced for ourselves some of Jesus' power, what he can do. But is it for us? Are we the sort of people who can follow Jesus? And Simon's story in episode one is the answer to that is yes. Jesus wants to come and meet us in the ordinariness of where we are and who we are. But he wants to change that and fulfill life for us, just as he did for Simon. To Simon, he says, I'm going to make you from a fisherman to a fisher of men. What will he say to us? What will be the fulfillment for us? Is it worth finding out? Episode 2. Peter steps out in faith. Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. And I want to leave the verse there just for the moment. He walked on the water. Episode 2 really needs to be in 3 sections. I've decided to sort of build that in case we sell it to the States and we need to put in ad breaks. So the first scene starts with Simon Peter back in a boat. And the title would come up on the screen, "The Lake, 3 a.m. He's with his friends. It's kind of familiar territory once again, but we can tell pretty quickly things are going a bit wrong. The wind is picking up. There's worried looks being exchanged across the boat, particularly from those of the disciples that weren't fishermen. And they're kind of asking, is it all going to be okay? And of course, the big fishermen are with all their bravado and, macho man that they can project are going, "Yeah, it's going to be fine. We've seen much worse than this." And then looking very worried at each other. And it gets worse and it gets worse. And then, and we read this in Matthew 14, then through the storm, they see Jesus. Not on the shore, not in a boat, walking on the water. Seriously weird. And he tells them not to worry. And this is not macho man bravado when Jesus says it. And there's something about Jesus and the way he says that, that this rush of faith and excitement comes to Simon, and he says, "If you call me, I'll come." And Jesus says, "Come." And he gets out and he walks across the water, and then he starts thinking about it. And his feet get very wet along with a bit more of him. And Jesus has to grab him. But I want to say, at least he tried. He stepped out. And when Jesus speaks to him, and whatever translation you've got, mine says, "You've so little faith, why did you doubt me?" You know, I think how we read that, those words of Jesus, probably is dependent a little bit about how we see Jesus. Do we read it as, "You have so little faith, why did you doubt me?" Or do we read it as, "Peter, come on, man, it's so little faith. Did you doubt me?" And I think it's more like the latter. Because I think Jesus would have applauded Peter's faith in trying. Ad break, and then section 2. Peter steps out in understanding. Now we're in Matthew 16. And Jesus is chatting with the disciples and asking, "What's the word on the street? What are they saying about me?" He asks them, "Who do you say I am?" I mean, because they've sort of said, well, some of the people think you're Elijah, and they scratch their heads a bit. Well, some think you're John the Baptist, one of the prophets, Jeremiah maybe. "But who do you say I am?" says Jesus. And Peter's declaration, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And you can kind of imagine then this little silence falls around the group as everyone looks at each other and looks at Jesus and looks at Peter and, what did he just say? What's Jesus going to say about that? Well, what does Jesus say? Well, the first thing he makes very clear is, well done, Peter, you didn't work that one out for yourself. My paraphrase, but he, flesh and blood has not revealed it. You didn't work this one out for yourself, Peter. Jesus is very realistic about what Peter's natural level of understanding would be at this point. He makes it clear that this is God revealing truth, which is, after all, what God does. But it is a landmark time for Simon. And actually, as we'll read in just a moment, it's a time that's marked by this landmark time for him. It's marked by a name change. I found this cartoon on Facebook during the week, so I thought I'd share it with you. Here's your order, sir. 1,000 business cards saying Simon the Fisherman. Later that day, Simon, from now on, you should be known as Peter. I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Amazing words for Jesus to speak to Peter. We could spend the whole talk just looking at those, but what an affirmation for Peter, following this, again, stepping out in faith and growing understanding of all that is possible as he walks with Jesus. New understandings come. At break, section 3. Peter steps out. Error. What's the context? Well, the context is that just after this, Jesus then decides to explain a bit more about where he's headed, where they're all headed, and how they're headed to Jerusalem, and how he is going to be killed. And Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." Why does Peter say that? Well, Peter, this is no longer the fearful guy falling to his knees, scared even really to be with Jesus. This is now Peter, who's beginning to feel comfortable around the unusual goings-on that surround Jesus. And Jesus seems to trust him, and Jesus has just made some amazing promises to him. He obviously sees me, thinks Peter, as a leader, as a trusted friend, as a confidant. So when Jesus starts talking about suffering and dying, well, it's time for a trusted friend, someone with understanding, to step in and just put him right a bit, just reassure the guy. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Oops. Anyone ever done that at work, in normal life? You know, you think you've got it all sussed now. You were a bit nervous about it, but now you've got it all sussed. You know where you're going. You know how to do things, and you don't need to ask anyone else. And bong. Has anyone ever done that with God? Think that we've got it all sussed. We kind of know this walking with Jesus thing. We're even a leader. We've been doing this long enough that we can get by. Out of line, in error. And as strongly as Jesus has just affirmed Peter, now he puts him right in no uncertain way. Because, well, not to put him down, but because he needs Peter to really understand that this walking with him thing can't just be worked out with human reason. And Peter does get the message when he writes some letters later on in life. He writes words like, God gives grace to the humble, but opposes the proud. And when he's talking about the amazing experience that we didn't read this week, but where he's with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and sees Jesus in all his glory, he kind of makes it really clear. He's just simply saying what happened. Guys, I'm not making up big wise stories to convince you. He doesn't big himself up as he tells that story, as in 2 Peter. Peter needed to learn that with all of the affirmation that Jesus gave him, it wasn't going to be about his own understanding and strength. I'm sure there would be other episodes. I'm looking for a 10 episode season for season one. They'd show more of Peter's journey with Jesus. There's no shortage of material, guys. I don't know any if there are any directors, producers here. There's no shortage of material about Peter. And every now and again, as I picture it, there would be flashes back and forward to the events in Jerusalem over that Passover weekend, just making sense of the whole thing about where it's headed. But here's my final sample script. I've said episode 3, but I kind of see this as episode 10, really, in this season. And it's Peter steps up, inspired, literally. The scene, it's in Acts 2. Many of you will have read it this week. Disciples have been told by Jesus to go and wait. Okay, we're waiting. They don't really know what for, but they're waiting. You'll receive power. Okay, we're waiting. But then this amazing experience. First of all, the shutters start rattling, the door rattles, maybe the door blows in. It seems like a hurricane blowing through, but it's just there. The power of God's Spirit sweeping through the room. And what looks like fire resting on each of them and new heavenly language from their mouths, and they rush out onto the streets of Jerusalem. Bit of a risk because they were kind of hiding before for fear of their lives, but they rush out onto the streets in excitement to tell people what's happening. These languages are coming from them, and not too surprisingly, people mock them, make fun of them, say they're drunk. And Peter steps forward, and around the disciples, I kind of think that even in all of their excitement of being filled with God's Spirit, there may have been just a second of a sharp intake of breath. People mocking them, Peter steps forward, everyone hide the swords. But now things are different for Peter. There is still awe at God's power at work, but the fear has gone. He's not stepping back, but he is stepping forward. Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles. He's not doing this by himself either. He has got increased understanding, he has got more experience, but there's more than that going on. Jesus promised them that they would be given the words to say, and that's what happens. He isn't relying on his own strength. This isn't impetuous, strong Simon doing his own thing. This is Peter the Rock filled with the Holy Spirit of God, fulfilling the promise that Jesus had given him. He has truly changed from fisherman to fisher of men and women and some. We're told that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. More importantly, for 3,000 people, their lives were turned around because of the Holy Spirit of God working in Peter. And my question is, what episode are we living in right now? And it'll be different for different ones of us around. Perhaps we're in episode 1. We're aware of Jesus. We know about him. We've experienced him a bit. Still not too sure about committing ourselves. Are we the right sort of person? Just be assured by Peter's story that you are. There's a prayer that we often pray towards the end of these meetings. I'd just like us to sit. Could we all just pray this prayer? But maybe for some of us, we're praying this with new meaning. Thanks, Sarah, for the first time. Dear Jesus, please come into my life today. I want to know you better. Fill me with your hope, your love, your joy. Forgive me where I mess up. Help me to know I'm a child of God. Give me the courage to work with you for good. If you've prayed that for the first time with new understanding, please don't go away without telling someone else about that. Maybe go to the back to the team on the prayer tables. Maybe we're in episode 2. We are beginning to step out. And we will mess up, just like it said on that prayer. Let's not live in our mess. Let's live in the encouragement of Jesus wanting to grab us and take us forward. Or maybe we're in a state of waiting. We know that somewhere we're not fully fulfilling all that we believe that Jesus has promised for us. And maybe we just need to be filled with his power for the first time or afresh. And as we continue with the worship now, I want to invite you, if that's you, if you're just pre-episode 3:10 and you know you need God's power to come inside you in a new way or a fresh way today, just open up your hands. I can't promise a wind to blow through this building. It could. I can't promise that you'll see fire on your head. You may. But I can promise that as we ask God to fill us with his Spirit, that he will do that, because Jesus promised that. He said, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? Perhaps we could stand together. We're going to worship. Let's do that in an attitude of our hands held out in receiving. Holy Spirit of God, would you come and fill us, not just for a lovely experience for us, but because we want to live for you and to be fulfilled from fisherman to fisher of men, whatever that means for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.